Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. He's stretched up. He's limber. He's going timber. Dan Wyke, Orange County Register. How's it going?
It's going down.
Yeah, it is going down.
I gotta tell you about timber. And I don't even know why this is the case. Every time that I would see Glenn Davis play in the last month, that song would play in my head. And I can't make that connection. Other than that, you know, could probably have like similar possibilities after Big Baby gonna turn up.
It was an experience watching him in the playoffs.
He was bad sometimes and sometimes pretty good.
Yeah, there were times where he was oddly effective, but it didn't make any sense when he was. And when he was bad, it was like, oh yeah, because he just looked so out of control.
Dude, it's going down. No, it's like, honestly, like if you could set a highlight tape to timber and it would make sense. And it was something that I can't really explain it. And it wasn't funny enough in my mind to tweet, but it was definitely something that it was a process that I went through over the past month of watching Glenn Davis play basketball and hearing Kesha in my head.
They definitely would. There was Thabo Sefolosha stealing your water, and then there was you and Arash Markazi getting as much airtime as you possibly could. You guys really you milked those playoffs.
It was good for my brand.
Yes, very good for your brand. Let me play Associated Press reporter. Talk about Thabo Sefolosha stealing your water, and what that experience was like.
Okay, so this is what Thabo doesn't know about stealing my water is after I think it was game two, I had like a 6:45 in the morning flight out of Oklahoma City, and that night in Oklahoma City, there was like a storm, pretty bad storm for like nobody who was there thought it was bad, but like the tourists like myself,
yeah,
were sufficiently freaked out.
Okay,
like I mean, like storm watch, they had their like they had their storm chasers are on TV driving around trying to find it, and I would have been all right. Like I got back to my hotel at like midnight, I've been okay, except for these two women come running into my hotel frantically looking for a basement.
Oh.
Okay. And they're like, we've got to find a place. We have to find a basement. It's coming right at us. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to die in Oklahoma City. it's going to end for me in the Renaissance here. And sure enough, I was on like 13th floor of like a hotel. And they're like, the TV's like, the only thing you really have to worry about is just being by glass windows. And you know, it was a nice room with big giant glass windows everywhere. So I was freaked out. I got like 2 hours of sleep. So then, anyway, to get this to Thabo, so I developed a cold out of this. I got a little sick.
Oh.
And as part of it, I was trying to drink a ton of water. And I brought two little bottles of water out to me to the court on game three. And luckily for Thabo's sake, I hadn't opened that one. But he comes over at the first, like, kind of dead ball. And he's just yelling, like, he's just not yelling, but he's like, water, water, water. Like, someone's going to hand him a water. And, like, the Clipper PR people are sitting courtside, like, they kind of shake their heads at him. He just grabs mine, and he says, can I have this water, after he grabs it.
Yeah, you can't exactly say no at that point, because he...
No, he had taken it. And I have a soft spot for Thabo, growing up in Chicago, and you know, watching him blossom as a player who never got minutes. He's a guy that, you know, there used to be a YouTube video of him rapping that I really enjoyed.
This is a deep relationship. This is a really deep rooted relationship. Sure, yeah.
He's a player I've liked, but after this, I don't know that I can ever trust him again.
Oh
and,
God!
And
no.
The funniest thing, so then I think it was in game five. Game five. I was sitting in Oklahoma City in the second row at the Square Soap, and he stole one of the Clipper PR guy's waters, too. So he did this twice in the series.
And they won. So was that the difference?
You know, I had at least one Clipper employee suggest that before game six, like I fill up that water bottle with, like, gin or something.
Oh man, if only you had gotten him sick, there would have been like some kind of biological warfare going on.
It could have changed the series. Yeah, so sorry, Clipper people. I didn't do my job. I should have coughed on him some more.
Yeah.
No, it was traumatic though. Him taking my water, I was stunned.
Your reaction on Twitter was just, I mean, it was like someone stole your child out of his car seat.
Well, I really, and here's the thing, like, at about, you know, because I'm trying to drink a ton of water, it's happened in the first quarter, like, 3 minutes to go in the second quarter, all of a sudden I'm parched.
Of course.
And I felt like, and I know what would happen if I had tried to do this, I felt like I should have been able to go over to the Thunder bench and fill up my water.
Honestly, what's keeping us, if you're sitting courtside in the media section, what's keeping us from, other than rules, what's keeping us from going over there, grabbing a cup of Gatorade, and heading back to our seat? It's not like they have a shortage.
No, it seems like there would be unlimited Gatorade or whatever it is they drink in the NBA. Funny story about that. This is a story I was told once about veteran Atlanta Hawks big man Chris Crawford.
Okay.
That he would, he knew he would never play. So he would have his Gatorade cup and he would have an equipment guy actually get him coffee so he could stay awake. So the Gatorade he was sipping on the sideline was actually like an espresso.
Oh, good for him. Plus, you've got a late night after the game. That's really just a good strategy.
I don't know what is. I mean, I guess rules would be you kind of nailed it when you said rules.
Yeah, but why are those rules in place? It's not like fans are going to go get it. You have a credential. I mean,
there are weird, arbitrary NBA rules.
Yes.
One of which, a strange media rule. I don't know what the situation is in Minnesota, but. Some locker rooms, there isn't like a clear like demarcation between the locker room and the training room.
Okay.
And reporters aren't allowed in the training room.
Right.
Okay. But like in some of them, it's sort of like, it seems like it's part of the locker room too. And, you know, early in my NBA writing career, I was scolded multiple times for standing in the training room. When in fact, I thought I was just standing in the locker room.
It's definitely not like that in Minnesota. Minnesota, it's very clear, the entry point.
And it's one of those things, like, honestly, where I was like, the person was, like, super angry. And I thought they were kidding. Look how angry they were. Like, oh, that's a good one. I'm like, no, dude, you need to get the blank out now. Like, oh, okay. Just take two steps to the right. You'll be fine.
Speaking of dire situations in Minnesota... You called upon me to do an emergency Kevin Love trade podcast.
Well, I feel like as far as people, I don't know if people know this about me, I'm not the world's biggest Kevin Love fan.
No, you're not.
And it's not that I don't think he's great, because I do. I just don't know how great I think he is in terms of, you know, best power forward in the NBA. Second best power forward in the NBA. I'm not even sure exactly where I'd rank him. Just because I feel like he gets a pass. Like, there's no James Harden defensive Kevin Love mashup that's out there. But I feel like there could be.
He's not nearly that bad. He's not good, but he's not James Harden bad.
Okay.
Well, he's really not. Like, 2 years ago,
maybe that's a beard bias.
It could be a beard bias. I'm not trying to pretend he's like on the cusp of becoming an all NBA or all defensive guy, but he's definitely not James Harden bad.
There's just it seems like he's willing to offer the path of least resistance.
He doesn't foul
sometimes just to get back on offense, and that's fine. How I want to play.
There's this weird strategy they have where the big guys don't foul at all, which is fine when you're playing defense and not fouling, but when you're just letting a guy score at the rim because you don't want to foul, like that's a poor decision.
So wait, their strategy is to never foul.
They have, I mean, the reason their defense, like you would never guess, but their defense I think was top by the end of the year was top 15. Like they were top 12, top 13 most of the year. I think it may have slid back to about 15. But the reason was they gave up I think the second highest percentage around the rim. and but they forced a ton of turnovers and they didn't give up many free throws. Like their free throw rate for the opponent was maybe the best in the league or like top five or something like that. Like, so it skewed their efficiency numbers to where, yeah, they weren't going to foul you and they would get turnovers and that would end possessions for them. But they also...
Are you suggesting that numbers do lie?
Numbers, not. I'm not going to say numbers lie. Numbers play three card Monty. That's what I would say.
I'm going to say that might cost you a job at the other network. They were 12th, by the way, in defensive rating.
All right, there you go, 12th. And like if you watch them on a nightly basis, you would say there's no way they're 12th. There's no way they're a top 12 defense. But it's because they don't foul and because they force a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, they give it the least amount of free throws
per
game in the end. So, okay. Well, I mean, sometimes fouling is good.
It's definitely better than just letting a guy score at the basket.
Yes. There are three things that I love more than anything in the NBA. Okay? Timber probably is number one right now.
Timber, yeah, certainly.
Number two is I love the slam dunk contest.
Okay.
Love it. And even when it's bad, I love it. I don't care. And then three is I love outrageous trades.
Okay.
And this is an opportunity for a great trade.
Well, have I got the storyline for you? Kevin Love wants out.
Got?
Kevin Love reportedly wants out of Minnesota. It's I'm just gonna assume, and hopefully I'm correct here. I'm just gonna assume it's his agent floating all this stuff based on who's making the reports. It seems like it's his agent, and sure. The Flip Saunders and Glenn Taylor have gone from there's no way we're trading him to, well, we're always looking to make our team better. So
okay.
I don't think we're gonna get one around the draft, I do think he'll be gone by the deadline, based on what I'm hearing.
See, now here's the thing: like if you can get more now, go get more now.
Yes,
not to be confused with Morneau.
Right. Don't get Justin Morneau. Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't get Morneau. Get more now.
What about Morrow? What about Anthony Morrow? You probably need more back in return. Yeah, you probably need more than just a straight up Morrow for Love trade.
Well, you could. I mean, they would trade Eric Gordon.
Oh, good. I was hoping to get a guy that wouldn't play.
He's available.
Actually, I want to bring that up real quick. It was always hilarious to me when this whole Chris Paul getting traded out of New Orleans thing was going on, how there was a sect of Clippers writers and fans who were saying, like, oh my God, we cannot give up Eric Gordon in a trade for Chris Paul. Like, you just can't do it. Like, that was a legitimate concern for a lot of people during that time. And to me, that's insane. Like, you're clearly getting the
crazy person.
Yeah, you're clearly getting the best player in a trade. If that's part of the package. And so I get, like, you're always wanting to get the maximum value for as little as little as you're offering, you want to get max value. So I get that from a negotiating standpoint, but you can't pretend it's ridiculous. Like, there's a mindset there that's different. So when there are Golden State Warriors fans saying, oh, we can give up David Lee and Harrison Barnes, but no way Klay Thompson gets included, that's dumb. That's legitimately dumb.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
Yeah, like, if you're getting Kevin Love for those three guys, you have fleeced them. You have, like, I think Klay Thompson's decent. I think he's a good player. I think he can be really good. He's not a guy where you think, oh, I don't know if we can give up for Kevin Love. No, you absolutely can. You can give up anybody on that team that's not Curry.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, is Klay Thompson, this is the easy question I should say. Is Klay Thompson going to make an All-Star team?
I would say 99.9% no.
And is Kevin Love going to make an All-Star team? Yeah, he'll be an All-Star.
Yeah, just got voted in, and now he'll go to a bigger market. So probably will definitely get voted in.
So, and I mean, but even, you know, take the fan vote out, I mean, he's an All-Star caliber player. He's, you know, he's very, very good. Great. Oh, okay, there. Now, fine. You got me calling him great.
Ooh. Ooh.
I know. I've upgraded. I think you do what you can to get subs. It's a sub-based league. Nobody, with the exception of Dallas, has really, in sort of the modern NBA, is one with just one sub.
Right.
You know, it's one of the things that, I mean, we could tear into this in a little bit too, about Carmelo Anthony, another guy who could be on the move this summer, but probably won't be, is, you know, you need to find a second person to play with.
Yes.
You just can't do it by yourself.
Right. I mean, there's that whole thing of like, oh, you need three guys. Well, you need at least two. You know that.
Yeah, three is optimal, but two is necessary for sure. And I mean, I think you look at the Pacers are kind of an example of a team that I guess is doing it without it. I don't know that they have any stars.
Pacers?
You know, I guess Paul George
is a star. He regressed in season, but I think he's still a star.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but like they're weird. That's not like, I don't think that's the model for everybody. I think it's hard, much harder to do that than it is to.
Here's the example I would raise in comparison to that. For at least like historical like level of stardom and importance of the team, like I think he's the Rasheed Wallace star of the Pistons, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like Rasheed Wallace was a star, but he wasn't like a superstar, but he was part of like this defensive team concept, right? So I think there's like comparable levels there.
Yeah, or Chauncey Billups too would be, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of that level too. And that's the other team that's won a title that without like a clear star presence. You know, what I mean, that's arbitrary. It's like one of those things, like I can't really define it or whatever, like what it is. But I can tell you this, after watching Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant this past series, like having those guys matter.
Those guys are stars.
Yeah, like Russell, the great thing about Westbrook, right, is that guy plays like he's convinced he's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
100% convinced of it. And he plays with that kind of edge and that kind of intensity. And that matters, you know. That I thought that was one thing the Clippers were unable to match, is they just, you know, for all the big steps that Blake Griffin took, I think he doesn't have that quite yet, that kind of irrational confidence. But Westbrook has he has it, and so it's fun. He's so, I almost cursed. That's how much fun he is to watch. He is super fun to watch.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let's talk about Kevin Love, though. Let's get back on track.
Let's get him out of Minnesota.
Okay, so where, in terms of Minnesota losing things, okay?
Okay.
We'll say you've got Kevin Garnett.
Yes.
That hurt. Is this as bad as KG? Or this, obviously, the worst thing that could ever happen to Minnesota is if Prince moved to, like, Wisconsin.
Right. That way, if Prince became like Mr. Eau Claire, Wisconsin, like that would be devastating.
That would cripple Minneapolis.
Yeah, Minneapolis would just start consuming itself like a flesh-eating bacteria.
Or if like Kent Herbeck was like, I can't live here anymore. I need to go somewhere else.
Right. That would also be a problem.
Okay.
Or if Khalid El-Amin's fish house went out of business. Because he actually has a restaurant, and it's been around forever. It's great.
Really?
I've never been, but I drove by it the other day.
How have you never been to his restaurant?
Ah, not in a great part of town.
Okay, fair point.
I just never find myself over there.
Yeah. I like that, of all people, Khalid El-Amin has a house.
Oh, yeah.
He was more of a heartier protein kind of guy.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a lot of fried fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That seems in character. So anyway, so where does Kevin Love, like, as somebody who's become, what do you guys call yourselves? Minnesotans?
Yeah, I like Minneapolites, because I'm not from Minnesota, but I live in Minneapolis.
I know, but you've become, though, but you've grown a beard.
I mean, I had the beard. I had the beard before I came here.
You have a bike? You have a bike there?
No, I don't bike. I haven't wanted to ride a bike since I got my license. That was the whole reason I got my driver's license, so I never had to ride a bike again. And so there's this whole thing of like, oh, biking's so fun. It's like, eh, I like my car with air conditioning or heat.
And
and no effort.
It's not as bad. Yeah, it's not as hard on the thighs.
Yeah, not as hard on the thighs. But yeah, okay.
But
Minnesotans,
but you love
Minneapolis.
You love you. You're a Minneapolis, like, at this point. You enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great city.
So what would this do? Would this cripple Minneapolis basketball?
No. Here's the thing: is that Minneapolis doesn't even really like the team all that much.
Okay.
Like, they haven't made the playoffs in 10 years, and they haven't really been that close. I mean, this was the closest they had ever come, and they were realistically done in mid-March. This is a bumbling organization who is at this point in the fandom spectrum, like, they're just kind of like, show us something or we're out of here. Like, they don't care. Like, attendance was, I think, fourth worst in the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and those attendance numbers were padded. I mean, I know they all are, but those were really padded. Like, sure. there were some nights where there maybe were 6,000 people in the building.
Tickets sold, Zach. Not actual attendance. Tickets sold.
Well, then they shouldn't call it attendance.
So
this will not help the team.
Why not just trade him? Why not just trade him? Like, right now. Like, why not just open up auction? And let's get your best offers in. It's just, and you know, obviously the season has to end. But
I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know, but Tuesday night is the draft lottery.
Yes.
There is. I mean, I hope you're sitting down for this. There is a
I actually literally am sitting down.
Good, me too. It would be weird if you were standing this whole time. There is a 2.2% chance that they move up into the top three.
Okay.
So we're gonna hold on to that 2.2% chance. And then when it doesn't happen, then the coaching search can really get going because no one of real significance is going to want the job. And then you can start saying, all right, we don't have we can't put a top player with him, so now we can start fielding trade offers.
Okay, all right. Are you sitting down? I'm going to blow your mind with something here.
Yes.
Isn't it a more attractive job with a traded Kevin Love than with a Kevin Love who wants to be traded?
Oh.
And the... So, because then at least you have a path,
right?
And you've got your the act. Because here, Kevin Love's should bring in a good return. It, now, there's the adage that whenever you trade a superstar, you never get equal value,
right?
You just don't. You know, you're not going to trade him to Portland for LaMarcus Aldridge.
Who's been? You know what's crazy about the Chris Paul trade? Al Farouq Aminu has been the best player for that team from that trade.
That
was a rough one.
Hashtag basketball reasons. I don't like to think about that because that trade got me on the NBA beat. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for that deal.
Yeah.
Because we weren't covering the register wasn't covering the Clippers until that trade.
There was no real reason. Yeah, there was no reason to.
Yeah, I mean Blake Griffin was pretty good. It was sort of my argument to my editors. why not just trade him? Why not just trade him? I don't want to say as soon as possible, but once you know, I mean, draft night, okay? We'll say that's the, in my opinion, that is the optimal night to trade Kevin Love.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to do it, you do it draft night.
You've got everything's on the table. You want to make a play at a top three pick? Hey, you've got the best asset in the NBA, and you've got teams like the Lakers. Who are gonna potentially be in that conversation if the league if things go well?
Here's the problem with this, though.
Okay.
He has to waive that early termination. If you're gonna trade for him and you're gonna give up a lot of value for Kevin Love, you have to get a guarantee that he won't opt out, and that he'll consider an extension. Well, no, you can't get the consider extension because that doesn't mean anything. But he can't opt out next summer. Like you have to get that waived. Like Chris Paul, okay, so like the Chris Paul situation.
Yeah, well that's the thing, and you know,
and he's only going to do that.
That hard.
I think he's only going to do that if it's the Lakers.
You wouldn't do that in Chicago.
I need to know if Derrick Rose is healthy.
It's a team that goes to the playoffs no matter what. I mean, they have you know.
No, it would be smart because if he went to Boston or Chicago, it would be smart because you're in the East at this point. Like, you're in the playoffs no matter what. But I would say that, like, I would say if you're Kevin Love and they want you to waive that opt-out, you have to know how good, like, how healthy Derrick Rose is going to be. And I don't know how they prove that.
Him going to Boston, by the way, is, like, the most hilarious possibility.
Oh, it would be amazing. It would be really hilarious.
It'd be so funny. Anyways, yeah. So you feel like you need Rose assurance.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I would need that. I just feel like that's a franchise that's in a good spot.
Oh, definitely. They're in a great spot.
Here's the thing too. They've been kind of quietly like asset stockpiling.
I think you get the best value if you trade either with Phoenix or Chicago.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, that's the other one. It's Phoenix. You know, now my feeling is that they'll probably match a Bledsoe offer, I would think.
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, stranger things can happen. I mean, that's what I would do. If I were the Lakers, I would try to max Bledsoe.
Absolutely.
And I'd just say, here's all the money we can give you. That's what I would try to do. And then, worst case scenario, you force a division team to match.
Right.
And you lock them up a little bit. But right. The thing with Kevin Love and Phoenix is, I mean, here's the thing about Phoenix that I think people who don't go there that often don't understand. Like, people think that, like, they don't think of it as, like, an attractive place to live. It is, like, where everybody likes to live. People, like, retire to Phoenix. People love Phoenix.
People love the desert. I mean,
yeah, it's, like, the weather. I mean, it's hot, but, like, it's never Minnesota. No offense. No offense meant.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, you're not dealing with snow.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can go golf all year. Like, the weather's great. It's moderately inexpensive. It's, you know, it's become like kind of a weird like culinary city, in a way where there's like restaurants, and I'm pro Phoenix.
Here's another thing, very close to Las Vegas. If you're an NBA player, very close to LA, very close to Las Vegas, you can have fun.
Yes, as opposed to Minneapolis, which is close to nothing except for St. Paul,
and it's close to Eau Claire, where Prince may defect.
I like the idea of like a Yasiel Puig style story about Prince's defection to Wisconsin. It's like 10,000 words in the New Yorker. Prince going across the Minnesota Wisconsin border. So here, if you're, let's say that you're Glenn Taylor, okay?
Okay.
Which, by the way, would make total sense because I feel like all rich guys should own a monocle. So you're Glenn Taylor. What do you need to get back for Kevin Love?
You need
to stomach it.
You need at least 2 first round picks. You need them to take a bad contract off your hands, and you need a good young asset, maybe even a great young asset in return. And I know, I realize that's asking a lot, but you're giving up you and I will probably differ on this, but you're giving up a top 10 player in the league.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a big difference. I don't know. Like, I would have to write it down to figure out where he'd fall in my top 10.
Or let's just say top 12 to 15 guy.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, you're giving up
an international Team USA player.
I don't like this. I don't like that you went from great earlier to really good now. I like the direction we were headed. And now you're
great, and I mean, you can't be great without being really good, to be honest.
All right, okay.
It's like saying Pitch Perfect is great and really good.
Right. So it's like saying I'm going to buy a house. It's going to cost at least $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Right.
I spent $1,000 on this house. That's incredible.
Plus $499,000.
Yeah. Plus another million. But still. That's funny. So that's what you need. I don't know that's how many teams can really offer that. So like
Phoenix,
you know, Phoenix.
Yeah,
that's who fits that can do that. And so, what would you want from Phoenix?
And people were Phoenix fans will go nuts over this, but there is not a trade I would accept if I'm Minnesota that doesn't involve Eric Bledsoe.
Okay,
because of how good Goran Dragic is and how successful they were with him on the court this year, and they were obviously very successful with Bledsoe too, there would not be a single trade I would even consider. If I'm Flip Saunders, I hang up the phone every time unless Eric Bledsoe is a part of that package.
How weird would a Rubio Bledsoe backcourt look?
that's the cool thing. It would be really odd.
Like, if you're defending against them, and I know you kind of have to guard Eric Bledsoe, because, like, his numbers say that he's, like, a pretty good shooter, oddly enough. But, like, really, are you picking up at the free throw line? Or what? I mean, like, you're going under every screen, right?
Yeah, except I don't think that matters with Bledsoe. Because Bledsoe will still attack if you go under the screen.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. But with Rubio, you're certainly going under every screen.
It's just, it's in terms of, that'd be an interesting fit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I tend to think that I think Golden State is an ideal partner, except for the first round pick part.
Here's why it's not. Why the hell would you ever want David Lee?
Because you're still trying to make the playoffs.
No, you're not making the playoffs in that situation.
You're not making the playoffs with a team with David Lee, David Lee, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes. You're not making the playoffs with that team?
No, Harrison Barnes isn't good.
I disagree.
I mean, he hasn't played well since last year's playoffs.
That's a fair point. He played well against the Clippers at times, though.
I think he's going to get better, but he's not good now.
How much of his growth was stunted by like them just signing Iguodala and saying, "Hey, we love what you did, so we're going to sign a guy who plays in the same position as you."
Okay, here's the thing:
give him all your minutes.
I know his potential is much higher. Is he honestly better than Corey Brewer right now in terms of impact? Like skill wise, yes, but in terms of impact and how they play, like, is he definitely better than what Corey Brewer did this year?
I guess not. I don't know.
If he's freaked out,
it's hard to compare. I do like here. If you gave Harrison Barnes, I love that this is what this has devolved into. If you gave Harrison Barnes Corey Brewer minutes, and Corey Brewer, like a Corey Brewer kind of supporting cast. I mean, they're totally different players.
Right.
You know what I mean? Harrison Barnes isn't going to be somebody, I think, on a team like Minnesota who's just going to kind of blend into the background.
I'm not saying...
He's going to be a guy who's going to try to make an impact.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I think Corey Brewer is better than Harrison Barnes. I'm saying that the fact that I have to think about it worries me.
Okay.
And if a guy... All right, so they signed Iguodala. Who cares? Like, why is that getting in his head? That's...
I don't know. I mean, I just felt like... It felt like all of a sudden, you know... Here was this guy that was poised for a breakout, and he's a young player, and then now all of a sudden, you know, it's just, he's gone away. Keep in mind, this is a guy who felt like he played well every time I saw him this year.
He's a different player.
I'm a little beard biased again for Harrison.
he's a different player than Draymond Green, but why couldn't he have done what Draymond Green did this year? Iguodala and Green kind of play the same position. Like, they both play three a lot. And yet,
Draymond Green, though, is like this weird, like,
he has confidence.
God, I hate myself. He's like a guy who just, like, he's willing to do, like, anything.
Yeah.
Like, he has that, like, where, I mean, like, Harrison Barnes is talented enough to be in the league for a really long time.
Certainly.
Draymond Green
probably
is.
I think Draymond Green has probably more talent because he can dribble.
He can dribble.
Yeah,
he does do that, and he's gotten himself into like into shape, really.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing with Draymond Green in shape. Like, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. And he's pesky, and like people don't like playing against him because he plays super hard. And yeah, I guess those are like, you know, if you view motor as a skill, which I kind of do, then yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But I still think Harrison Barnes is a guy that, I mean, we're talking,
I just
like
think
Harrison Barnes has like DeRozan-ish upside.
Maybe. God, he can't dribble. And really troubles me.
Yeah. So anyway.
I think if you're gonna trade Kevin Love, you need to start over again. Like, all these filling pieces are just a bad idea.
Okay, so that's what you like about the Bulls then? It would be the two picks in Mirotić, right?
Yeah, and then I don't know if you can get Taj in the deal, or maybe you get Jimmy Butler in the deal. But one of those guys.
I mean, I'll be Garpax for now. Done.
Done. we've made the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the attractive thing about the Phoenix side of it too. You can get your pick back because they owe Phoenix a pick. So you can just say, hey, we get to keep our pick as part of the deal. So that's another thing to factor in.
Okay. So they've got we haven't even mentioned Houston. What about Houston?
Houston's very intriguing. Would you have to would you have to demand Chandler Parsons?
I think he's available.
Yeah, you have to demand him, right? Like him, Monte Unis.
Yes.
Him, Monte Unis. God, who else would you ask for?
Anybody you want.
Yeah.
That's not James or Dwight Howard or... no, really just James Harden and Dwight Howard.
Yeah, so...
Yes, for anybody.
Maybe you ask for Monte Unis and Terrence Jones. Those two, Chandler Parsons, and a pick? That's a lot.
See, I think it's funny that you think that that's more than Harrison Barnes, Klay Thompson, and David Lee.
Well, because there's no... I mean, aside from Chandler Parsons, like, there's no imminent, like, contract extension that's going to be outrageous. Which I think Klay Thompson's getting $10 million a year.
But you just said, though, no one cares about this team. At a certain point, don't they have to start winning?
Yes, but I think you're getting worse with that trade. Because David Lee does not command a double team. He just doesn't. Kevin Love at times commands a triple team. And if you put
David Lee can score, though. David Lee can score.
Certainly, because he's always going against single coverage.
He's got a lot of flaws, but he can score.
Right, but you're destroying your...
Keep in mind, I just watched these guys for 7 games. Klay Thompson is like... I mean, he's sort of like a unicorn in the sense that he's like a 6'7" two guard who can play a little bit with his back to the basket, a little bit, and score and pick on smaller guards, and he's also a really, really, really good shooter. So you don't lose any stretch in that deal.
No, I agree with that. I would love to have Klay Thompson. I just think, like, all right, his next extension, it's gonna be a little rough.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pay him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think, you know, David Lee is obviously somebody he's kind of run the clock out, but I mean he's a starting power forward on a playoff level team in the West.
But they're not a playoff level team with those guys. That's my thing.
Rubio?
And you have to pay him. Well, if Rubio gets much better, then yeah. But that he's got to make a huge jump next year. And you're still paying.
I mean, I feel like you guys are working out, like, every day, right?
No, I think he's in Spain right now. It's really, really disheartening. Speaking of these unwritten rules.
That's the loneliness I hear in your voice.
Speaking of these unwritten rules, like, apparently you can't try to become best friends with a Spanish point guard. That's an NBA unwritten rule.
The leaks and that.
Yeah, I got a few memos or, you know, subpoenas, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you would call it.
Board of Governors?
Yeah.
The Board of Governors have discussed this on their last conference call.
Here's the thing. You're paying David Lee $30 million through 2016.
Oof.
Yeah, if David Lee had 1 year left, then I would say, okay, do that trade. But you're not getting any cap relief at all in that deal.
So as of right now, we've now traded Kevin Love to either Phoenix, Houston, or Chicago.
Yeah.
What is Boston really?
I was just about to ask you. There's really not anything.
Do you want Jeff Green? Jeff Green's
really
good?
No.
Feel good about him?
No, not at all. I like him, but no, that's not like you're not centering a deal around Jeff Green.
I mean, I don't know what other player.
It would have to be like if they got a top three pick. That's the center of the deal.
Okay.
If they win the lotto and get a top three pick, like, then that's your starting point for the trade.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's essentially what the Lakers could offer as well.
Right.
If that was
if you're the Lakers, though, do you risk it? Do you
risk?
I would say keep the pick and just see if you can sign him outright. Because it's not like you're going to have a shortage of guys okay, you miss out on Love, you'll just go get the next guy.
But see, if he goes, though, to Chicago, okay, or Boston, even though he could leave Boston, I could foresee that. You know what I mean? But he's like, he wouldn't leave. I don't think he would. I don't think he leaves Houston. I don't think he would leave Chicago.
Right. I agree with that.
I feel like at that point now, that's like one, like that's one less piece that you get a crack at.
Sure.
And that was like sort of like the, out here at least, that's sort of been like the rallying cry is that we're just going to tread water till we go sign Kevin Wells. And like the one thing that, that totally screws that up is he gets traded to a, an attractive destination, which it sounds like that's what he wants.
Right. I mean, that, that's definitely
no
what he wants.
No one's going to sit here and say, trade me to a horrible team.
Right.
But I mean, I think that's the push is that, you know, is, he is, what he's insinuating, or at least what his agent's insinuating, is that, you know, by wanting to go to an immediate contender that, you know, he understands that he's probably going to have to opt in, you know, all of those things like Chris Paul.
Oh, hoop idea.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, he goes to another team. The Lakers won't give up, let's say Andrew Wiggins, or no, the Lakers get Joel Embiid, and he's fine, okay. His back's healthy.
Okay.
Lakers won't give that up in a trade. He goes to Chicago, opts in, so he's signed through 2016. Summer of 2016, he and Kevin Durant team up, because they're both free agents. Who has the cap room to go get him? The Lakers.
All right. I mean, I think they'd sign up for that.
And then you've got Embiid, Love, and Durant. That's not bad.
I mean, again, presuming that that has to presume though that his situation, making the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, back to back years with the Bulls, if not making the NBA Finals once with that team, is, you know, worth walking away from.
Well, then you just send him like reports, like fake reports about Derrick Rose's knee, every day.
Just if you're the Lakers.
Just a text the
Lakers. Doctoring up MRIs.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Hey, we had an MRI in the locker room last time you guys were here. This is what it looked like.
I mean, here's the other thing, too. I mean, and about Kevin Love, and what I think makes him really intriguing, is that he does scream kind of like complimentary piece in a lot of ways, just the way he plays. You know what I mean? Like he's such a good passer, and you know he can stretch defenses. These are things that, but he's not necessarily a guy you can give the ball to with like four on the shot clock and say, "Go get me one."
I don't know. He's pretty good at it.
Like I mean, but he's not like. I mean, this sounds stupid, but this is the bar we're holding him to. He's not like Durant good or Westbrook good.
Well, no, certainly not. But he was. I mean. He was like third.
He's had to develop. I mean, you watch him more than I do.
He was fourth. Like he was fourth in scoring this year.
Yeah.
I mean, some of that's inflated because you know they didn't have anybody else. But like, he was the fourth best scorer in the league. He scored better than James Harden.
How many free throws? Where was he on free throw attempts this year? He's really good at getting.
Yeah, he gets a lot of calls. He averaged 8 a game.
Okay. And he's a good free throw shooter.
Yeah, 82%. Yeah, yeah. Three-pointers, I guess, like 37.
What I should say, instead of saying, like, he screams comment, he has the potential, in my mind, to be a hyper-efficient scorer.
Yes.
Even more so than he is now.
Yes, if he was the second option, like, he would probably be the best scorer in the league in terms of efficiency and volume.
Very well could be, you know what I mean? And whether that's with Derrick Rose, who, as a guy who... you know, can get into the paint, I think would be terrific for him. You know, I mean, a guy who can get in the lane and kick the ball out to a shooter, and that'd be such a nice fit.
Absolutely.
Whether it's Steph Curry, which I don't know. I mean, it's hard enough trying to guard him right now. And you know, Thompson or like if that's Kevin Love instead, that's even tougher. I don't know, man. It's gonna change some team, like, and it's gonna change the league a lot in a lot of ways. I mean, you've seen like all these teams have just stacked superstars. I mean, I did a radio interview the other day, not the one I was texting you about, but a different one. Yeah. Where someone asked me about if the Clipper season was a failure. You know, and that's like one of those broad questions. It's really hard to answer.
Right.
And like, yeah, they're disappointed. They thought they were good enough to win a championship, but in reality, you could be the third best team in the league and lose in the conference semifinals this year.
Yes.
Like, that's really in play. And you look at some of the teams that were pretty good that lost in the first round. I mean, the Houston Rockets lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
A team with Dwight Howard, James Harden. You know, it's, I mean, the West is so stacked. It's funny to think about Kevin Love going to a Golden State, Houston, or Phoenix, just what that would even do. It'd be a bloodbath.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, like, he should be trying to go east, right? That just seems like a no-brainer to me.
Path of least resistance. I mean, right? As you go, especially with who knows what's happening in Miami, you know, go to...
I think he should be trying to go to Miami.
To me, it's Chicago. To me, it's Chicago. Wait, you think he should go to Miami?
I think he should try to. I think you could legitimately try, like, get to Miami if you wanted to.
And, yeah, of course you should do that.
Yeah.
You should all... That should be what everybody should try to do. Like, it's Miami. It's great. There's no state taxes, and it's Miami. And there's LeBron.
Right.
Why don't you live in Miami? You should try to go to Miami.
Maybe I will.
I like it. I feel like you should try to insert yourself into this trade somehow.
With a snarky blogger to be named later?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just why not? You know? He's a leech. So I feel like we haven't solved this. And that, I think, speaks to the difficulty the Timberwolves are facing. But I think we're in agreement here that they need to make a trade, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say there's like a 4% chance of them keeping him. Like, and that is contingent on Ricky Rubio completely changing his shot this summer and being a not a good scorer, but a competent scorer. And if you make him a competent scorer, it changes the game completely. Like, he's that good everywhere
else. And you
got to
give him that 2.2% too.
Right. Let's get that 2.2% so they get Andrew Wiggins. And then, that combination would work.
Okay, so that's the plan.
That's the backup plan.
And then after all of that happens, then you hire a coach.
Right. Sam Mitchell will be the coach, and which I don't hate.
I hope Sam Mitchell, for your sake, is the coach.
I think he'd be great.
That's just because if you get a chance, as a shameless plug, listen to him and Jason Goff on SiriusXM NBA. It's a fun show. Sam Mitchell's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think you would enjoy it.
No, I love a coach that has an attitude.
Zach, we did seriously 5 minutes on nut shots.
Okay.
And like, because of Ibaka and Chris Paul. And,
right.
Yeah, and Sam was terrific.
Are you pro or anti?
I mean, depends on which end I'm on. I guess I'm anti.
Yeah.
Just
to play it safe.
I'm against it, as a general rule. It's funny that we talked about it, and then sure enough, Blake took a shot to the junk in the series.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, at what point does, how many times now, I know that the Thunder people will say it was unintentional, but how many times do you have to unintentionally hit somebody in the groin before it becomes part of your reputation as a player?
Right. I would say it was definitely unintentional. The times before that, no. But it did look like Perkins pushed him in the back. It's a weird arm motion to make when you get pushed in the back.
Yes.
I don't typically come with an overhead right when I'm pushed in the back. but I guess I could see it. It looked like it happened because he got pushed. But this is the boy who cried, "I'm gonna punch you in the nuts," right? That old tale.
We're dangerous. I think we're a groin shot away from being a trend.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah. So, anyway, Sam Mitchell would be a good hire. He seems like a nice guy.
And his teams in Toronto were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They were a top 10 offense.
You know, I think the thing, the big problem Minnesota's facing, and we talked about this a little bit before you started taping, is that, you know, they've got all these guys under contract who are all pretty much the same in terms of the production they can provide, and they all make $5 million a year.
Yes.
got like six of them. And so, got to figure out what to do with those. I mean, I think it, like, it seems like to me that the model here is pretty simple. You pay your stars a ton of money, and then you try to fill in the rest.
I would say the model is to when you're a mid-market team and your guy wants a five-year max deal and he's good enough to be a five-year max player, that you do that.
You probably should give it to him.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't upset him.
What's nice is as soon as the draft pick goes to Phoenix to complete that trade, and as soon as Kevin Love walks because he doesn't want to be here anymore, the David Kahn era will officially be over.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Will there be some sort of, I don't know, like, I feel like some sort of Mumford & Sons type song to celebrate this by some local Minneapolis band?
Oh, definitely. I was at an art festival this weekend. There was a, well, no, it's more like a bunch of hipsters get together and just go drink and listen to live music, and there's supposedly art there. There was this band that caught the end of called Metalliger, where they have combined. They're a Metallica cover band, which I don't even really like Metallica, but you know, it's music, I guess. But it's a Metallica cover band that also has a guy who acts like Gallagher the comedian smashing stuff on stage at the same time. I can't believe I didn't lead off with this. Like, they're legitimately like sledgehammering watermelons and all kinds of stuff while playing Metallica music.
Were you in the splash enough?
No, we got there late. And so, like, we caught like the tail end of it. But I mean, there was just stuff everywhere. It was great.
That, are we 100% sure this wasn't the real Metallica?
That's it could have been. It looked
sort of art project.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do that, wouldn't you start a grassroots movement in Northeast Minneapolis?
Right.
I couldn't even tell you that.
Or Eau Claire.
Or Eau Claire, the rivalry continues. It might have been the real Gallagher though, because what, he can't be up to anything.
That's awesome, and that's keep Minnesota weird. Keep Minneapolis weird.
Right.
I mean, that's really. Like, it's a shame that they can't trade him for Aldridge. Because, like, that's, like, that would be the fun kind of symmetry here. It's Kevin Love. Is you trade him to the city that is most often compared to Minneapolis and Portland. Right? You've got that nice little rivalry already. Because of your bike lanes.
Yeah. Which is a weird rivalry to have. There's so many more things to compete with other than bike lanes.
Also, another very bearded city.
Yeah, oh, I would say arguably more bearded.
Like, his beard would play super well.
Yeah, they'd love it.
And they might love him more in Portland than they would in Boston.
Although I think they kind of hated him because he grew up in Oregon, and from what I've heard, like, wasn't the nicest kid.
Oh, because he went to UCLA.
No, this was like when he was in high school. Like, he just had a bad reputation. And maybe this was just like rivalry schools that he was kicking the tail off of, but yeah, I feel like he wasn't that loved in Oregon. But I could be making that up.
I think they'd get over it.
Yeah,
and like he would be good with like, you know, Fred and Carrie on Portlandia.
Sure.
I mean,
he was great in Entourage. That can translate to Portlandia.
I guess. Yeah, real similar shows. similar in their goals, and. Both cameo heavy, I guess.
Yeah.
And then so, I mean, that to me, that would be, like, the fun place for him to go. Are there any other weird places you want to see Kevin Love traded?
Well, also, it would be fun in the sense that...
But the Knicks.
Yeah, oh, there's a report today that the Knicks are working on a package. That sounds great. Let us know when that's completed.
Is Phil Jackson involved? Who are they going to send?
I have no idea. But that was something. You know what would be fun about the Aldridge Love swap? Is both fan bases having to immediately reverse course on which one's the better power forward?
I know. It's
that awesome. Would be very amusing to watch.
I was just kidding. Oh, it would just be like everybody could just just copy and paste JK into everything that they've ever written.
Exactly.
Or said about him. Yeah, no. Now, who is better? Tell me who's better now.
Love is better.
Why?
He's a better rebounder, he's a better scorer, he's a better passer.
those are only like three parts of the game, though. I think he's better as well.
And he's like a 3-point shooter. He's a better free throw shooter, I think. Maybe they're about comparable. Aldridge is clearly a better defender.
Marcus Aldridge as 40-point playoff scorer.
That was weird.
Like, I mean, and again, I'll mention this again. You know, growing up in Chicago, he's a guy I hate watching play.
Sure.
Because just visions of Tyrus Thomas.
I was just on a Charlotte radio station today, and we made fun of Tyrus Thomas for like 3 minutes. It was great.
Oh, because of the Bulls pick this year?
Yeah. Yep. Or, they wanted to talk about the draft, and then they started making fun of Tyrus Thomas, so I made fun of Tyrus Thomas. It was a good time.
One-time dunk contest participant, Tyrus Thomas.
And he, I mean, was he the one? Oh, maybe this is Josh Smith. One of them, like, put tape down from, like, 18 feet. And they were going to jump from it. But they took, like, four steps inside. Yeah, they went, like, four steps, like, in from that line and then took off. But, like, it was, like, this whole, like, oh, my God, 18 feet. Like, there's no way. And then it was like, all right, there's no way.
Yeah, like, it was just a place where he wanted to dribble.
Yeah, like, he was just setting up marker for, like, when they have a play a couple hours later.
I'll leave you with this because I feel like we've rambled a lot here.
Yes.
My favorite Tyrus Thomas story was pre beat writer days. I was attending a Bulls Grizzlies game. I was living in Mississippi at the time, and I went to see the Bulls play the Grizzlies on Martin Luther King Day.
You were living in Mississippi?
Just for a minute.
Where in Mississippi?
For a year. Oxford.
Oh, okay. I lived in West Point.
My first time out of college was covering Ole Miss.
Okay, I lived in West Point, which is northern.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't leave Oxford that often.
There was no reason. There's no need to.
Yeah. So I go to this game, and the halftime performance was Boys to Men.
Oh God.
I know. That's amazing, right? So they were doing this like weird Motown revival thing instead of just, you know, I mean, here, you don't go to a Boys to Men show and not expect to hear Motown Philly, and they didn't play Motown Philly. It was a gigantic disappointment.
That's a huge disappointment.
But they closed with End of the Road. And so they do like, they're like, you know, 10 minutes of Motown medley, and then they're singing End of the Road, and the Bulls players are starting to kind of like come out of the court. And Tyrus Thomas, like he was in Boys to Men, is doing like the step to the right, like snap his fingers, like kind of Motown dancing.
Yeah.
While singing End of the Road, like at the top of his lungs. And this was at halftime of a game. I think the Bulls were down like 9. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's cool. He's super into Boys to Men. That's awesome. I think he had like 4 points that game. he was really, really into Boys to Men.
It was the End of the Road.
So good trade for Charlotte.
That was an excellent trade.
Good deal. Good deal. Good trade for the Bulls originally, too.
Also, great trade when they traded Corey Maggette for Ben Gordon and a pick that Detroit owes them still. Yeah.
Fun times.
Well, Dan, we can follow you on Twitter at Dan Wyke Sports for more Kevin Love trade ideas.
Yes, this is all I'm doing this summer. There's nothing else going on with the Clippers, so
no.
I'm just going to be focused on Kevin Love.
Right, that's what you should do, and we can read you the Orange County Register. And next time, we ran out of time, but next time we're discussing Josie and the Pussycats.
Most certainly. And the star, the bright star that should have been Rachel Lee Cook.
Oh, God, yes. That's a whole hour on itself.
Yes, sounds exciting.
All right, thanks, Dan.
All right, listen.